So Luke 1 and Matthew 1, and before we read, let's pray together. Let's pray. Father God, help us please to hear your voice this morning. Would you make our hearts receptive and responsive to your word? Would you train our eyes and would you focus them on Christ? And teach our hands and our feet to move in fresh obedience to the dictates of your word this day. Work now, we pray, as your word is read and proclaimed in all of our hearts for your glory and in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Flick over to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from all their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means "God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen. This is God's word to us this morning. We're in the midst of Advent season once more. The Christmas tree is up, the Advent candles are being lit, the carols are being sung, and next door our children are preparing for the nativity once again. In our personal lives, our houses are all decorated nicely. The presents bought and wrapped. Well, okay, we're still wandering our way through a busy shopping centre, still trying to find that last gift or two, aren't we? And we're planning ahead for Christmas dinner. Preparations are being made. It's busy, but it's such a wonderful season of the year as we are drawn to think again on the birth of the Saviour, reminded afresh of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, of Emmanuel, God with us. Can I ask you, how are you preparing for God's gift this year? Not how are you preparing for all of that other stuff that needs to get done, although maybe there's an argument for saying some of it doesn't need to get done and yet we rush around doing it. How are you preparing for God's gift this year? This year, I'd like us to be considering faith and obedience at Christmas. Many in our world today struggle to stop and consider the significance, the eternal significance of what happened that first Christmas. Sadly, for many in our day, it's simply a season that's consumed with gifts and gatherings and busyness. So I want to encourage us to stop and to consider what it is all about. And I need to tell you this morning, I've got nothing new and nothing profound to say. This is my 15th Advent season preaching here in Cornton, okay? I cannot make the story new. I can't. And actually, I won't, because we need to hear these same simple truths again and again. I'm convinced that we need to be reminded afresh, year on year, of the wonder and majesty of our Savior's birth. And so as we do that, let's this year be drawn to faith and obedience at Christmas. This morning, I want to look at those accounts of Mary and Joseph discovering that Mary was carrying God's child. For here we will see the faith and obedience of a very ordinary young couple. They're weighed down with the shock, the upset, the challenges, the difficulties they foresaw. This couple wrestled with how all this could be and what they should do. And through this, we find their faith and obedience. We find them preparing for God's gift. Through them this morning, we find the help we need to answer that question. How are you preparing for God's gift this year? We begin in Luke chapter 1 with Mary. Mary heard God's word and obeyed. Here's a simple truth for God's people still today. We are to hear God's word and we are to obey it. That's pretty simple, really. Mary heard God's word and she simply obeyed. And we struggle with that for a whole variety of reasons in our day. For many of us, we don't hear God's word. And we blame that on God not speaking to us. But I want to say to you this morning that that is absolute rubbish. It's absolute rubbish. Because God has spoken to us. And he's written it all down for us. Everything we need to know about God in our day and in our age is written down in the pages of this book. God has spoken. He has revealed himself to us. Open this up and receive from God today. Pray as you come to read this festive period, asking God to reveal himself to you more and more, to teach you his ways. It's not too early, you know, to actually plan a reading plan for next year so that you get into God's word each and every day. And I'll send you out some ideas shortly. And you know, there's actually an app we discovered this week. It's amazing what happens when you go mentoring a younger minister. And there's an app called YouBible or YouVersion, one of the two. And actually, you can do a reading plan in there through the year, and you can invite a friend or some friends to join you in that, and you get to see a wee tick if your pal's done the reading for that day. And so you can actually encourage each other over an app. Now, for half of you, you're looking at that thinking, what on earth's going to happen? What are we talking about? Don't worry about it. It's on your phones, it's on your iPads, your devices, your tablets. And you know, you can even write little notes to each other on it, asking each other what you got out of it. What a wonderful way to use our phones these days. There's a lot of terrible ways to use them, but there is one good way. Maybe you can get alongside somebody in your family who's living somewhere else. Maybe you can get alongside a friend who's close by, and you can just do this app and read scripture together. God has revealed his word to us. How do we hear God's word? You open this up and you read it. How do you hear God's word? You get yourself to church on a Sunday and you listen to a decent preacher. You might need to go somewhere else for that. But listen to the word being preached and proclaimed. Anyway, Mary heard God's word, and she wrestled with it, and then she simply obeyed it. Let's remind ourselves of what happened, because we know this story inside and out, I'm sure. It began with an anxious reaction. We discover that an angel was sent to Mary with some news. Verse 26, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, right there in just that verse or two, I could actually spend a whole sermon. And you know that because you've seen me do it with other passages. Right there, we've been given so much detail to help us see prophecy being fulfilled and placing this story right in the middle of God's plan of salvation. But I just want to mention that profound truth and leave you to go and ponder those two verses with that thought in mind later on of prophecy being fulfilled and that story being placed right where it is in the middle of God's plan for salvation. That angel speaks to Mary in verse 28. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And this caused an anxious reaction in Mary. We read in the verse that follows that Mary was greatly troubled by these words, and she wondered and considered what this greeting might mean. And we might be troubled too, and be trying to work out everything was going on if that happened to us. After all, it's not every day that you're greeted with a message from an angel. It's not every day you see an angel before you. Mary was just an ordinary girl. She didn't come from a prominent family, at least not that we're informed of. She had no special education or qualifications that we learned of that should attract this kind of attention. She was just an ordinary girl going about her ordinary life, trying to live the best she could. She was obviously a religious girl who had a deep belief in God. For later we'll learn that she took on board what the angel said and commented in verse 38 that she was the Lord's servant. The angel sensed that anxiety, saw that anxious reaction in Mary's face and demeanor, no doubt. So the angel speaks again. And this time the words begin with some calmness, with words to relieve the fear and to calm the situation. Do not be afraid, Mary. You've found favor with God. Do not be afraid. These words, do not be afraid, are the favorite words of the angelic host. Zechariah's heard them. Joseph will hear them. The shepherds on the hillside will hear them. And actually, I want to say to you today that God still uses those words today to you and to me when we're getting all anxious about some situation that lies in front of us, some difficulty, some struggle. God speaks to us and he says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Trust in me. Faith. Obedience. The angels repeated that phrase about Mary finding favor with God. His next words must have shocked Mary, though, and caused even more anxiety and uncertainty and confusion and fear. Because just look at verse 31. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Now, these are the words you wait to hear from a doctor or a midwife, not from an angel. Maybe from that little clear blue test you do these days and you do a second time and a third time to make sure it's right and it's not telling you lies. But what of poor Mary? She was engaged to be married, hadn't even slept with her husband-to-be. That wasn't the done thing back then. And actually, dare I say it today and stand out as different from the world around us, that's still not the done thing today either. What on earth will Joseph think? What will my family say? What on earth will the wider community think? And I think we tend to think that Mary sat there all calm and serene as she took this message in. But I've got my doubts. She's troubled at the words it said, wondering what it all could mean. And thoughts are racing through her head. And so she asks in verse 34, how will this be since I am a virgin? An anxious reaction, a natural reaction, if you ask me, as you tried to work out how all this would work out. How will this be? And for many of us, we have those struggles. We have those anxious reactions to what we hear, to what we see, to what we receive. We cry out, how will this be? When I was called into ministry, I couldn't see how God would call somebody like me. And then my next thought ran to, how will we survive? I've got a good and well-paid job. I've got a wife and a family to care for and provide for. I have a mortgage. I asked that question, how can it be? And yet when God chooses us, he speaks into our confusion and he brings a challenge to trust, have faith, to obey. He provides for all that we need. He helps us to achieve all of our plans. And all of that so that he gets the glory. Friends, take time to cry out to God. Take time to take your anxious reactions and thoughts to him. Ask for his guidance and be ready to hear and to obey his answer. Well, the angel of the Lord steps in here with words to reassure, to encourage, to challenge Mary to faith and obedience. Here's angelic rhetoric. Verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. God cares for his people. He doesn't want us to be worrying and to be struggling all on our own. He wants the best for us and will often speak into our lives to help us. And so he speaks through his word. He speaks through other people, through our situations, even through that still small voice of his. He speaks in various ways into our lives and into our situations. Here, he speaks through the angel Gabriel. He tells Mary that God is going to be at work in a miraculous way. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon her and she'll be with child. And this is quite amazing, for this is where we see the Godhead, the Trinity, at work in creation. We know that the Father and the Son have been involved in creating, but here we see the Holy Spirit creates life as well. If you remember back, God spoke into being in Genesis and everything was created. Psalm 139, we read the psalmist recalling those great words that you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. In John chapter 1, we read that through the very word of God, through Jesus, all things were made, the Father and the Son. But here in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35 is the power of the Holy Spirit that will create new life in Mary's womb. Here is the Spirit acting as the agent of God, the Creator at work. Our God is all powerful. And Mary's challenged here to faith and obedience. And as she is, she's encouraged to hear of the miracle in Elizabeth's life as she who is thought to be barren and too old is having a child too. And Gabriel uses those great words we often hear, we so often use, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. I don't know where you're at this morning in life. I don't know what's going on in the deepest levels of your life. I've got an idea for some of you this morning, but I don't know all of your inner secrets. What is it that you think is impossible for God? Is it that partner who's not yet confessed Jesus as Lord? Is it that child that's turned their back on God and run away as the prodigal did? Is it that illness, that ailment, that will just not improve? Is it that job you can't get to grips with no matter how hard you try? Or maybe that job that you cannot get? Is it that struggle in your past that you cannot let go of? You know what it is. You know what it is. And I want to say to you afresh this morning that nothing, nothing, nothing is impossible with God. Hear the words of the angel, the words of the Lord. He can do all things. He can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. Faith and obedience, hearing and obeying God's word. And that's exactly what Mary does. For on hearing the angel's words, we see a very assured response from her. Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Despite the shame that was sure to come her way, despite the humiliation she would bear, Mary was willing to submit her life to the will of the Lord. In so doing, she sets an example of obedience and surrender that every child of God needs to take to heart. Mary readily accepts the angel's message and realizes that God is at work. She worships God. She trusts God. She's been living for him and now commits to continuing to do that. Nothing else matters for her than pleasing God. I am the Lord's servant. What do you do when God speaks into your life? Do you question? Do you hesitate? Do you procrastinate? Students' favourite word, that one. Do you procrastinate? Do you ignore it? Or do you trust God and move forward in faith? Having received assurance from God, the only response ought to be, as the hymn writer put it, to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You and I would do well to learn to submit to the will of the Lord in every detail of our life. We need never fear the providential hand of God, for he will never do us wrong. Regardless of what may come our way in life, we can rest assured that God is going to use it to get glory to himself and to help us learn more of him. Mary heard the word of God and she obeyed. She had an anxious reaction to what she heard at first, but on hearing that angelic rhetoric, we find her assured response. Mary was a faithful, submissive young woman who gave herself to whatever God wanted to do with her, no matter how far beyond the imagination that might be. Are you prepared to do a similar thing, to submit to the Lord's will and his plans for your life? Will you hear his word and obey? Will you respond with faith and obedience? Let's flip over to Matthew, to Matthew 1, because here we see another example of faith and obedience. Mary's husband-to-be hears the same news. He is equally confused and anxious. He too hears from an angel and therefore goes on to respond in faith and obedience. Why did I say earlier that God's word is so important? Because we see again and again, similar examples, again and again, people responding with faith and obedience to what they hear from God. And here's that simple truth all over again for God's people today. We are to hear God's word and we are to obey it. Joseph heard God's word and he obeyed. Verse 20 says, after he had considered this. Well, what's Joseph considered? Well, the preceding verses explain that to us. Here is anxious consideration from Joseph. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Again, we're told of the fact that this couple were engaged to be married. They have no doubt happily been looking forward to that wedding, planning for it, talking of their hopes and their dreams together. And then into that setting comes this rather sudden shock. She was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Mary's pregnant during her engagement. They haven't even slept together. And this is the worst possible news for Joseph. Both he and Mary were good, upstanding people, religious people. Now, these days, we see pregnancy outside of marriage fairly often. But the biblical model is still one of sex within marriage. Therefore, no babies until marriage either. It was very much frowned upon back in Joseph's day, so he didn't know what to do. He was worried. He was anxious. He was concerned what people would say, what people would think, what people would do. We read there that he didn't want to expose Mary to public disgrace, so he planned to divorce her quietly, verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He didn't know the full facts yet. He loved Mary with all of his heart. She was the one chosen to marry. But the Hebrew custom and culture would view Mary as unclean, as immoral due to this news. He wanted Mary, but he knew that he had to separate from her. And that must have broken his heart. And in his anxious consideration, he came to the conclusion that he had to divorce her. He was a righteous man, we read, gentle and kind. In his righteousness, he had to do what was right in the eyes of the community, so he decided to break off the engagement and to divorce Mary. Now, the term divorce is used there for a contract had been signed and entered into. Marriage was a serious act, a legal one, and so in these days, the act of engagement was a legally binding contract. To annul this and get out of it, a divorce had to be granted. Yet he wanted to protect Mary too. So he had in mind to do this quietly. I wonder if we give as much attention and time to troubling and anxious issues in our lives. Joseph took time to consider his position, but also the position of the girl that he loved. He wanted to care for her, even though he had to do what was right. And I want to just mention another important thing Joseph did. He slept on it. Verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. He's gone to sleep on it first before doing anything. And we know he's sleeping, not just because he's dreaming, but actually when you get down to verse 24, it says, when Joseph woke up. Friends, when it comes to considering matters, make sure you take time. Don't rush. Indeed, be prepared to sleep on it. And of course, make sure you take it to the Lord and listen to his response, his leading and his guiding. As Joseph anxiously considers all of this, we find him fall asleep and we find him have a dream. And in that dream, we find angelic confrontation. An angel appears to Joseph and sets the story straight. He's addressed there as Joseph's son of David, a reminder to him of his royal pedigree. The angel uses the same words then that she used when speaking with Mary as well. Do not be afraid. And there's no doubt Joseph is afraid. He's afraid of what people will say on hearing this news. He's afraid of losing the woman that he loves. He's afraid of what will happen to Mary when people find out. And now he is no doubt afraid that an angel has appeared in this dream to him. How many times do you see an angel? The angel goes on to confirm that Mary's not been sleeping around and that this is in fact an act of God via the Holy Spirit. Mary's carrying the Son of God in her womb. Not only does the angel confirm this is all God's plan, but Joseph is even told what to name the child. And the angel says this to Joseph. And as he says this, I'm wondering if Joseph will remember what Mary said to him as well about her angelic encounter. She was told to call the baby Jesus. Here, Joseph is told to do the same. He's given the reason for the name and for this happening. It says there, for he will save his people from their sins. Matthew's keen to make sure that we get that this is prophecy, a fulfillment of prophecy. He draws us back to Isaiah 7:14 that we read at the start of the service this morning. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Matthew gives us the name of the meaning of that name, Emmanuel, there as well. God with us. Of course, this baby would be God with us. God, the Son, was leaving the glories of heaven to take on human flesh and to live among us. Of course, all of this is happening just as the Lord planned it. And that's a lesson for us. Trust in God, for he is working out his perfect will in your life and in mine. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but he does. And the call is to walk with God all of the time. Let him lead you and guide you. Even when you're faced with difficult choices, walk with him and look to him and look back to his word. Look back to his word and see what he has promised for today and for tomorrow. He is with us, Emmanuel. Now, Joseph wakes up and we find his assured commitment. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. As soon as Joseph understands what is happening in his life, he reacts in faith. Do you see that again this morning? He reacts in faith. He doesn't run 100 miles away. He doesn't hide under the bed covers. He responds in faith. He goes and takes Mary into his home and into his heart as his wife. His response is of pure faith. He still doesn't know how things are going to work out, but he knows that God is working, and that is enough for Joseph. Joseph's decision must have shocked the whole community. Everybody probably assumed that they couldn't wait for their wedding day. He was willing to bear the shame of Mary's pregnancy because he knew that God was at work. True faith does not shrink from the call of God just because others might not understand. True faith hears the voice of the Lord and simply does as it is told. Joseph takes her home as his wife, doesn't sleep with her until after the child is born. And just see the assured commitment as when the child is born. What does he do? He names him Jesus, just as he was told. Joseph heard God's word and he obeyed. Oh, he had heard some disturbing news, some unsettling news, news which he didn't quite know how to handle to begin with, and through which we see his anxious consideration. But he took his time with that and slept on it. And as he slept, he faced an angelic confrontation, but that reminded him that God was in control, which led to his assured commitment. Joseph was ready to faithfully submit to God despite the unusual situation. Are you prepared similarly to submit to the Lord's will and his plans for your life? Will you hear his word? And will you obey it? Will you respond with faith and with obedience? Christmas, particularly the lead up to it, can be tiring and stressful. In the busyness, we sometimes forget to stop and remember what this season is all about. And the stress, we can take our eyes off of Jesus and get lost in despair and in doubt. Can I encourage us all to be like Mary and Joseph as they were preparing for God's gift? They heard God's word and they obeyed. May we take time to prepare for God's gift by reading his word afresh and by dwelling on it, by hearing and by obeying. May we live by faith and obedience at Christmas and all year round. Let's pray. Loving God, we want to thank you for these wonderful and amazing words. Words which we read and have read over and over and over again over many, many years. And yet, Lord, the message is timeless and it's true. We thank you for the incredible story of you coming to earth, of you choosing this ordinary couple, and yet not so ordinary, because it was all planned out. It was all part of prophecy. It was all part of that perfect family line that you had planned and prepared. And so we thank you for your perfect will. We thank you for your perfect providence. We thank you for your perfect plans. Lord, we pray as we continue to read these amazing words over this Advent season of that first Christmas, that you would help us just to be reminded of truths of old, and that you would help us to respond in faith and obedience this year in particular. Lord, help us to hear your word and help us to obey it in our lives. Help us to trust in you and to move forward in faith always. For we thank you for your love and your goodness and your faithfulness. Hear our prayers. Continue with us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.